Next on BYUSN, undefeated 9-0 BYU, only a 2.5-point home favorite against 3-6 Kansas. Why is the line so close, and does it give us concern for Saturday's game? Former BYU and NFL tight end Dennis Pitta joins the program to discuss BYU's unbeaten start and the challenge of playing week after week in the national spotlight.
Former BYU athletic director Val Hale on his new book, Out of the Blue, that looks back on his time working in Cougar Athletics. And are we ready to root for Utah against Colorado? There's some good reasons why.
That is a loaded question, and this is a loaded show. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy November 14th. I am Spencer Linton on a Thursday alongside a man who is not afraid of the dark, Jerem Jordan.
No, because I'm so fast that by the time I turn off the lights, I can get back into my bed before the lights go off. No, Muhammad Ali said something like that. Yegor Demin is afraid of the dark. You shared this last night on the men's basketball broadcast, which is pretty funny. So naturally, Trevin Nell and Trey Stewart took him to the Haunted Forest around Halloween. In fact, here's what Trevin told you last night.
We took him to the Haunted Forest. He was scared at first, but he was determined to be that guy that was the first to see everything. So he was like 10 yards ahead of us. Somebody would jump out and be like, oh, that didn't scare me. And then we would walk up like 5 minutes later. And he's like, don't worry, guys, he's right here.
What is the collegiate United States and now Provo experience? Whatever Trevin and Trey give Yegor, that is what he goes through for the most part. Which
Yegor
is awesome.
Said, Trevin is my best friend. Like That's those awesome. Two, those are my guys. And he added, I always have a light on in my house. Like, it's just not a thing. But he was determined to face his fears. So the roller coaster, the haunted forest, like, he's like, I'm
he's
taking on my
boxes.
Fears.
Do you sleep? Is there a light on nearby when you sleep? For you?
For me?
Yeah.
Down the hall for my kids, but, like, I sleep better when it's dark.
I used to sleep in, like, pitch black as a kid. But now it's like, yeah, the closet around the door slightly ajar is on, like, little things plugged in the hallways, yeah, for kids. Yeah, it used to be darker.
Hey,
yeah.
No fear, my friends. It's time to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. Home favorite. But just barely. BYU, a 2.5-point favorite at last glance over Kansas, who is coming off their best performance of the season, dismantling Iowa State in a home-slash-neutral site game of sorts. They played that at Arrowhead Stadium, I believe. But still, taking care of business. So, Jerem, as you look at this game, what Kansas has done, what they just did to Iowa State, what BYU just did against Utah, why do you feel like this is such a close line? This is a double-barreled question. And are you concerned about it?
Yeah, I am concerned. I'm concerned about the game. The line, not so much. I understand the line. I get it completely. BYU has won 4 one-score games. They could easily have a loss or 2 or 3, depending on if you make a play in certain spots, right? BYU has made all the plays needed to win. It's been incredible. Meanwhile, Kansas has not. 0-5 in one-score games. You talk about Illinois, UNLV, West Virginia, Arizona State, Kansas State, led in the fourth quarter in all 5 and lost. In fact, 4 of those 5 is the last 2 minutes, dog. So Kansas feels like, man, we need to win the last 3 and we can get to a bowl game and salvage something. This was a team expected to compete for a Big 12 title. They certainly have not done that, but they are a team that played their best game of the season in taking it to Iowa State. 45-36, Iowa State scored a late touchdown.
Yeah, it was not that close.
Closer. 532 yards. You talk about playmakers. Jalen Daniels, awesome. The running backs, Devin Neal, now all-time rusher in everything that matters at Kansas. Daniel Hightower, I love the trio of Luke Grimm. Quentin Skinner is a 6'5 machine at wide receiver. Lawrence Arnold. Those three are tough to stop. Now, BYU has weapons of their own to match it and a defense, especially in the secondary, to match it with 16 interceptions from 11 different players, 21 takeaways, top 6 in the country. It's the run game that you're going to have to stop from Kansas. And Jalen Daniels and Devin Neal are perhaps the best 1-2 punch in the Big 12. They are awesome. So I get the line, and I am concerned about the game. I don't care about 3-6. I look at how Kansas has played recently and how close they are to being awesome, and BYU has to play well and come off the emotional high against Utah to maintain an undefeated season. I think it's a high alert game for BYU. They have got to be ready to go here.
1,000,000%. Do you know easily Kansas could be 6-3?
If not better.
I'm not asking them to switch all five of these one-score games, but if you just flip three of the five, and I'm thinking about UNLV, Illinois, and Kansas State specifically, when in all three of those games, I was watching and thinking, Kansas is going to win this game.
They blew it against Kansas State. Jalen Daniels fumbled.
They blew it against UNLV and Illinois. So they could easily be 6-3 and on the cusp of a college football playoff ranking in that top 25. They're that good. This is a, as you said, high alert game. And Jay Hill told me last year, of all the running backs that BYU faced in the first year of the Big 12, the one that gave him the most concern and caused him the most grief preparing for was Devin Neal.
43 career touchdowns, dude. This guy's a machine.
Not anybody at Texas. Not Taj Brooks at Texas Tech. It was Devin Neal because he's so good catching the ball. He's got incredible contact balance. He said he's really hard to tackle and really hard to scheme against. So Devin Neal and Jalen Daniels definitely have Jay Hill's full attention.
Yeah.
Then you consider the only game that Kansas lost by two scores or more was an 11-point loss to TCU. It's not like they got blown out in that game either. Kansas plays everybody tough.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we anticipate anything else?
And BYU's been on the fringe of losing. They haven't, to their credit, but the line out of the spread out of the odds makers tells you that they continue to not think that BYU is going to maintain this. Like, why isn't BYU a 10-point favorite over a 3-6 team at home? Because the means matter. And the way that BYU has played to have Crew Wakely pick off a pass to beat Baylor, and Oklahoma State was dramatic at the end, and obviously Utah was incredible. Like, SMU, you had to go get a field goal late in that game, and you needed two red zone stops. BYU, the chances of BYU being 9-0, like we talked about on Monday, are just crazy.
They're astronomical.
That this has happened. Like, 1 in 41,000 or whatever the person tweeted on X. So here we are. BYU has to play well and show up Saturday night. Like, it's going to be cold. That place better be packed. And it's a huge game because there's so much at stake. You talk about in the modern era of BYU football, they've not had this opportunity to be in a power league, to go to a conference championship, and to go to the expanded playoff. Everything's come together this year. The playoff's 12 teams. It's not like you're just trying to win the league and go to the Fiesta Bowl. And even if it was only four teams, BYU would be in the hunt for the four-team playoff. But it's 12 teams, and you've got to show up against a Kansas team that has an offensive coordinator that knows you in Jeff Grimes. AJ Stewart's an analyst, by the way. He knows BYU stuff. You've got to play well. You've got to avenge last year's loss. This is a massive game, and I don't feel like we thought we'd be saying that a couple weeks ago with Kansas.
I wondered what the edge for BYU was going to be coming into this game. Now they have a few things. One, Brett McMurphy, Stuart Mandel saying that BYU is going to go to the Alamo Bowl, that they're not going to be the Big 12 champs.
That they're going to stumble.
They're not buying them at all. The line, certainly. And then Harrison Taggart gave me something interesting when I did my one-on-one interview with him on Monday. He said, this is personal for me because my guy, one of my best friends, Ben Bywater, was hurt in the game at Kansas last year.
Mm.
And I want to pay those guys back. Thought, hey, whatever you want to do.
That's quite personal.
Whatever angle you want to take, BYU needs that. And I'm going to make a plea to all BYU fans. I've heard a few saying, it's a little bit too cold. It's a little bit too late. Just make sure there's a BYU fan in those seats.
9-0, number six.
When has BYU ever been in this position? Find a way. Sacrifice. Be loud for the Cougs because they need the home field advantage to the utmost degree on Saturday night against Kansas. This is a good football team.
Degree is well put.
Right?
Topic number two. Are you rooting for Utah against Colorado this weekend? Because we look at the standings. We see Colorado in second place at 5-1. Certainly a Utah win over the Buffs would put BYU in a two-game cushion should BYU win. Yeah. Now, if BYU loses, they're still up a game to get to the Big 12 title game. At that point, it would be you want to make and win that Big 12 title game regardless. But, hey, is it You want Colorado to win this? I almost said the phrase. I'm not going to say the phrase. But do you want Colorado to lose?
There are mixed emotions in this.
Yes, there are.
For sure. There are so many layers to this. I'll start with why maybe I want Colorado to win.
Because tell me.
I like the idea for the Big 12 championship game to have a Colorado team that is rolling and a BYU team that could potentially be rolling. That would be an incredible scenario if, and I know this is a massive if, BYU is able to get through unbeaten or even with one loss at 11-1 taking on a Colorado team that is 10-2. Like, that is the best case scenario for the Big 12, for the chance of the Big 12 getting two teams into the playoff, BYU being one of them. So if BYU loses to Colorado in the Big 12 championship game, if Colorado has played well, then you can't really dock BYU that much, and then both teams are probably going to get into the playoff.
I know the country is rooting for Colorado to be around there for the most part because people are interested in Colorado. There are some haters of Colorado. I didn't particularly like Colorado at the beginning of the year, but the more I watch them, the more I'm like, hey, this is fun.
Like, I feel like BYU's cushion in losing a game and still getting in the playoff is if they're playing the best, clearly the best other team in the Big 12 championship game, and then, heaven forbid, they lose. But if that is the case, then how are you going to dock a BYU team when it's Colorado? If Colorado wins that game, they're 11-2. They've been
and
rolling.
They have the most star power of any team in the country with at the top with Shador Sanders.
Then I feel like BYU is still going to be in the playoff as an at-large. So that is the benefit of Colorado winning. Now, the benefit of Utah winning this game is now BYU has real cushion to get to the championship game. But then to me, it's like,
which is goal number one here.
Oh, this really, yeah. BYU going unbeaten in the regular season, that really is the Big 12's best chance of getting two teams in. Having the other team win the title,
yes,
and then BYU is undefeated other than a loss in the title.
It's not contingent on any other result. It's that BYU continues to win. I will not actively root for Utah ever, but I would say, hey, if Colorado loses, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Okay. There are benefits to both, frankly.
Yeah. They're,
like, both,
if BYU
whatever
wins
happens
out,
there.
I don't really care that much, but I think that matchup with Colorado, like you said, that's the most interesting non-BYU team that could win the Big 12. Because if Kansas State or Iowa State or Arizona State sneak up and do it, meh, Colorado's got some star power. They got some juice. Like, on First Take, they ain't talking about anybody else in the Big 12 but Colorado,
yeah,
probably.
You know who are huge Utah fans this week? Kansas State, Iowa State, and Arizona State.
Give them a shot. Yep.
As they're right back in this thing.
And, oh, by the way, BYU at ASU next week is a massive game.
Oh, man.
ASU, K-State this week. Woo! That eliminates one of those teams.
Tell me, is it fun to watch these November games with a Power Four conference
context? I miss playing Idaho in Independence, said no one.
Gosh.
This is awesome. BYU had to do what it had to do, and now we get blessed with this.
I think that what pushes BYU fans to root for Utah in this Colorado matchup is because BYU fans are worried about Kansas. They want the Cougars to have some wiggle room in case there is.
I'm worried
a slip
about
up.
Kansas. I'm worried about Arizona State. I'm worried about Houston.
Houston's a better team
right now. There's no, like, BYU's automatically winning this game to show up. None of those three. BYU's not good enough to feel like that.
I don't think they do either.
And they prepare in a way where no one thinks they can win.
Our question of the day, BYU, 2.5-point favorite against 3-6 Kansas. How are you feeling about Saturday's game against the Jayhawks?
Opened at 7. The line just moved quite a bit.
At Chauncey Jones, 21 on X answers, nervous. Kansas is a better team than their record indicates.
You get it.
All true.
You get it.
They took it to Iowa State. Most of their losses are by less than one score, 5 of the 6.
Yep.
Kansas is fully capable of beating the Cougars this week. Need the fans to show out and the team to be dialed in to take care of business.
Yep.
Hashtag BYUSN and join the conversation.
Okay, next topic. What was your biggest takeaway from men's basketball's 99-55 win over Queens University of Charlotte?
Nice to see BYU respond to some coaching after a weird game against UC Riverside. I thought the Cougars were challenged in practice. They were called out, and they showed up and did what I expected them to do. In fact, they played even better than I was anticipating that they would. And the development of the bench. So, one, they answered the call, Jerem, and then it was nice to see Kevin Young use a lot of the bench. Specifically, see some guys like Elijah Crawford, who's now throwing lobs to Kay Bakeda.
Yeah.
Kevin Young told us after the game, like, one of the things that I enjoyed the most about this performance was to see other guards getting involved with Kaba and Foose in that guard to big combo. It was fun. It was fun to watch that evolve. And so I like that they showed up, because sometimes when things get weird for a new team with a lot of new moving parts, you can kind of let that snowball into, oh man, maybe we're not as good as we think we are. BYU got back to what I thought they should do last night.
Yeah, they shot three better, made 15. I like that. Dawson Baker, awesome. 6 of 7 from three. He was great. He's a 1,000-point scorer at UC Irvine. We forget. Trevanel made 4 threes in the first half. I loved Kaba Keita, another double-double. 11 points, 13 rebounds in 21 minutes, by the way. It's not like he's playing 30, 32. So that was awesome, man.
Yeah, but just they did what they were supposed to do, which is great. They also got some great news, because BYU basketball, even though most of you already know, now it's official.
Yeah.
They signed Xavion Staton, the highest-rated recruit BYU has ever signed. Did you hear me?
In the modern era of rankings, Sean Bradley.
Aside from Sean Bradley.
Yep.
Yes.
Devin Durant would have been huge. Yeah.
Xavion Staton.
Danny would have been huge.
Okay, so in the modern era with recruiting rankings, highest rated recruit BYU's ever brought in. What do you make of this signing for BYU as the recruiting momentum continues?
I'm stoked to have the best rim protector in the country coming to BYU. 4-star guy, 7-footer. That composite score is the highest ever, 9.883. Number 23 player in the country, Gatorade Player of the Year in Nevada. Wears a headband and goggles. BYU fans are going to love it. I can see The Rock already donning goggles and headbands in game one. How about 3 of the 6 and 4 of the 9 highest-rated players on 24/7 Sports have all been signed since April 16th with Kevin Young? It's Staton at 1, Catchings at 2, Kozlowski at 6, Crawford at 9. Kevin Young continues to recruit at a high level. Cannot wait. Obviously, fans are super excited about the prospect of another certain player, the number one player in the country. You couple that guy with this guy and this team, oh my gosh. It's super exciting what's happening.
Can we just say that BYU has officially graduated to another level of recruiting? Are we good to say that?
I felt that way after last year's class.
Now it's 4 stars, like it's 4-star guys. It just feels like that's the average
now. Chamberlain Burgess, who's going on a mission first, 4-star guy as well.
Does BYU do anything but that now? It feels like they
probably
don't.
Probably not.
This is a wild
probably
time.
Probably not.
It happened fast. I think that's what's most unbelievable about it. And I'm excited to watch Xavion play.
Yeah, he's going to be a baller, a fan favorite.
Oh, The Rock. Can you imagine him coming up with huge defensive plays and block shots in front of that side of the floor?
It'll be great.
Oh!
It'll be great.
Let's go!
Okay, Saturday. Big time stuff. We'll get you ready for BYU and Kansas, BYU Sports Nation. Game day at 8 Eastern time. Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio as well at the same time. The game is on ESPN and BYU Radio, and BYU TV and BYU Radio have post-game coverage.
After the break, we're feeling so good that Jerem made time to go one-on-one with Dennis Pitta.
I've been asking for this.
We've been waiting for this one for a long time.
Finally, production listened.
What does Dennis think about BYU being number 6 in the rankings and his thoughts on playing week after week in the national spotlight? This is BYUSN.
And it is true for three!
Amazing to see how they have come together as a brotherhood.
And they bounce back in game so quickly.
This is who we are.
BYU also undefeated.
I'm very happy for this squad.
Oh, we're all happy for this squad. BYU 9-0 and ranked number 6. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton. I am Jerem Jordan. This morning I spoke with one of my best friends, Dennis Pitta, who we try and make time for on the show. We frequently do not, but today we did. And here's my conversation with my homie, Dennis. We finally made time for you, Dennis. I tell him every day, hey, we got to make time for Dennis. Today we make time. So what do you make of BYU's 9-0 start and, of course, the miraculous finish and winner at Utah over the weekend?
Well, first off, it's great to just be one-on-one with you today,
yeah,
Jerem.
We need this.
I mean, we've had a lot of distractions. There's been Spencer. There's been other co-hosts. I think this is important for our relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. That we're just one-on-one, kind of get to hash everything out and we'll see where this takes us. But listen, in regards to BYU, if you asked me before the season if I would think this team would be 9-0, I would have laughed in your face, to be completely honest. And I think that was probably most people's honest opinion about this team based on what they did last year, based on the difficulty of the schedule and everything that was kind of, you know, in front of us. But man, they have far exceeded my expectations. And, you know, I think it's been awesome. And there's nothing better than being able to crush the hopes and dreams of every Utah fan in the state of Utah and countrywide. And so that game last week was awesome. And I watched it from start to finish. We had people over until the very end. We were sitting there with, you know, mild expectations and very little hope on 4th and 10. But man, was it awesome to see, you know, a good call made in a critical situation. I think a lot of referees would be afraid to throw the flag in that case, but I think it very much impacted the play and was absolutely the right call. And it extended the drive for BYU. And ultimately, BYU made the plays down the stretch to win that game. And so, man, I put myself on the other side of the coin there. And I think, man, if I was a Utah fan, would I have been happy about that call? No, I wouldn't have been happy about that call, especially in that circumstance. But you cannot deny the fact that it was the right call. And you know, people forever will complain about that and say you shouldn't have thrown the flag there, but it was holding and it impacted the play. And who knows, JoJo Phillips maybe gets that ball. I mean, Jake Retzlaff dropped back and that's where his eyes went immediately. And so as soon as he saw his guy get held, he had to come off of it, and then the pressure got him. And so it was the right call. And unfortunately for Utah, their AD, their fans, they've got to live with this one.
And it was, you know, it was a unique situation after the game as well. A lot of reaction from a lot of people, Mark Carlin included and whatnot. BYU's 9-0, Dennis. How are they doing this? Because they are 4-0 in one-score games. They've been able to win the close ones that some teams have not. Reminds me of TCU in 22, where they were making plays to win games at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you watch kind of what they've been able to do throughout the course of this season. It's really been the defense has been the catalyst for all of these wins. And the offense has played great. And Jake Retzlaff is, I think, like I mentioned earlier, has far exceeded all of our expectations. And he's been tremendous. And kind of the poise and moxie that he operates with, I think, is important, especially when you have close games and down the stretch. I mean, it didn't seem like he blinked at all in that final drive against Utah. And time and time again in these close games, I think he's made the plays when he's needed to make the plays. And that's huge. And that's what you have to do as a quarterback, especially a winning quarterback. But for me, the defense has been the big surprise this season and been the catalyst for all of these wins. I mean, what they did in the second half against Utah, not giving up a single point, I think was unbelievable. And, you know, especially what Utah had done in the first half, and in particular that second quarter, putting up 21 points, and for them to completely shut them out in the second half, I think is huge. And, you know, game after game, they've just been opportunistic. They've generated turnovers. And ultimately, the game of football comes down to turnovers, the turnover margin, the turnover battle. It's always the key indicator in whether you win or lose a football game. And BYU has generated turnovers, and the BYU offense has, you know, really been opportunistic when they get the ball back in those situations and made other teams pay. And so that's been a winning formula for them. And you know, I think they're playing really good, confident football. And the offense didn't play unbelievable against Utah, but that's a really tough environment. I've played a couple games there, and I've never won at Utah. And quite frankly, offensively, we've played very bad in those games in Utah. And so we've turned the ball over. We've had a bunch of mistakes, and it's not an easy environment to play in. And so they did enough to come away with the win. And in games like that, rivalry games on the road against a tough opponent that's, you know, been underwhelming this year, but, you know, they were a highly ranked team going into the year, and they've got a ton of talent, and BYU managed to get away with a win. So that was huge.
Sometimes you need to go +3. It ends up being 3 because there's a fumble on the kickoff at the very end. It was 2 until that moment. You have to be +3 to win that game and barely win that game. And BYU's been great at just making sure they win. Are they flashy? Do they look like Oregon? No. But do they have 2 wins in the top 16? And are they ranked number 6? And are they the 3 seed right now? Yes. Yet, big game with Kansas. You look at a 3-6 Kansas team, Dennis, and you go, well, they should win that, right? You look at Kansas closely, this team has lost 5 games by 1 score. They've been super competitive. They were picked to be pretty good in this league as well. The line is only 3, some places 2.5. This is an interesting one coming off the high of Utah. So how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I think this will be an interesting game for a lot of reasons. Number one, Kansas is a much better football team than their record indicates. And you just alluded to all that. And they're playing good football right now. And I think that's what's important. Football, you can start a certain way and you can have some tough close losses like they've had, But at the end of the day, what are you at the end of the season? And, you know, I think Kansas is battle tested and they've gone through a lot. They've had a lot of challenges and adversity that they've had to play through. And that oftentimes makes a team much better down the stretch. And so this is going to be a very good Kansas team and a team that, like you mentioned, was, you know, highly thought of coming into the season and a team that had a ton of success last year. And so they have playmakers and they're going to be able to move the ball and they're going to, you know, play aggressive and it's not going to be an easy out for BYU. Now, the fortunate part of that is we get them at home at night, a game that I'll be at, my first BYU game this season.
Heck
fortunately,
yeah.
I get to go to that one. So I'm very excited about that. But
who's texting you right now?
Yeah, somebody's trying to call me. I don't know who it was. I don't have time for that.
Come on, Max. But
I think it was Spencer. He's trying to tell me he's coming in right now.
Probably.
Yeah. But man, it's going to be a tough test. And I think really the next two games are critical for BYU. You know, this Kansas team that's playing really well, they just beat Iowa State. And then you have an ASU team that is very capable and has some real playmakers on both sides of the ball. And they have to play at ASU. So those games will be tough. And I think BYU certainly has the confidence to be able to do it. They have, you know, the players to do it. I think the coaches are doing a great job. Throughout the course of the season, they've put their players in position to succeed. But man, I mean, it's always difficult to play good football after such an emotional win like they had in Utah. Coming down to the final play, you're just so emotionally drained. You're relieved that you were able to go, you know, up to Rice Eccles and finally get a win that's been a long time coming. And you just hope that there's no emotional letdown because that's human nature and that's kind of the nature of sports and football. And so we've seen it time and time again. These are considered, you know, somewhat trap games. And I talked about this a handful of weeks ago. I still do a lot of shows for the Ravens. And, you know, the Ravens had a huge emotional win 1 week and then they go to Cleveland the very next week. And Cleveland's a terrible football team and they completely lay down and play down to their competition and they lose the Jameis Winston and the Cleveland Browns. And man, the Ravens are so much better of a team than Cleveland. But you know, it's just the nature of football and sports that you just, for whatever reason, cannot match the same level of emotion, intensity, and focus throughout the week of preparation that you necessarily need to, because you're still so focused on what happened the week before. So hopefully BYU can get over that. Hopefully the coaches are framing those messages right now, and they'll be ready and emotional and focus and poised to play a great football game because they're going to have to beat Kansas.
And if they keep winning, the college football playoff is an absolute reality. The Big 12 title game is an absolute reality. How are you handling the possibility that should BYU continue to win, and even if they drop one, they could still make the Big 12 title game, that those two things are in play in reality in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, you know, BYU's in a position – a very good position with great odds to be able to make the college football playoff. And listen, this year in college football is really funny because there's a lot of parity. And I don't think you would, you know, maybe outside of Oregon, but even Oregon, I think isn't unbeatable if you watch some of their games. And I just think there's not, you know, a team at the top of this thing that you say, oh, nobody's beating them. I think there's just a lot of good teams and not a lot of great teams this year. And so BYU has a real opportunity to not only make the playoff, but if they get into the playoff, I mean, they have a real chance to win some games. And it'll be really interesting to see how this all shakes out because, you know, you have a lot of teams with one, two losses and good football teams, historically good football teams. But I think what one thing that the NIL has unintentionally done is it spread the talent kind of across the country, and you're not so heavily loaded up on Alabama and Ohio State and some of these true blue blood programs for whatever reason. And I would have thought that it would have been the opposite, that, you know, those big programs that can pay the most money and provide the best NIL and all that kind of stuff would have the advantage in this. But I think the NIL in conjunction with the transfer portal has spread the talent across all these different teams. And you just don't see these heavy front loaded teams, you know, being heavy favorites in this thing. And I just think any team is capable at this point. If they make that college football playoff, I mean, I don't know what the betting odds will be, but I think, you know, you probably have, you know, 12 of those teams that could probably win it, to be completely honest. And so I think BYU is in a great position. I cannot stress enough how, I guess to my own fault, little belief I had that BYU would be in this position at the start of the season. But they have continued to impress me and prove me wrong. And it's been fun to watch.
You're not alone. It's been an incredible ride and very special 40 years after 84. And who knows what the next couple of weeks look like, but certainly BYU needs to win on Saturday to keep this ball rolling. Dennis, you validated why I say every day, shoot, we missed Dennis, no time today. We made time for you, and it was awesome. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, man.
Thank you. I'm excited to be up there. And let's be honest. You say that sarcastically every
what?
Day.
What are you talking
and
about?
You don't actually want me on the show. You're threatened by my presence. And certainly today proves it.
That's a strong that's a strong word for it.
I am disappointed in Spencer, though. Mm. Didn't even have, you know, the decency or the respect to show up today when I was going to be on the show.
He shows up in here, Dennis.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have a lot to say to Spencer when I see him next. So,
okay, I look forward.
But looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, I want to see that conversation. Maybe we'll stream it live on Twitch for money or something. Who knows? Dennis, thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Jerem.
Maybe we'll see that conversation on Twitch. I don't quite know. Check out the latest Deep Blue podcast featuring the first grade BYU quarterback under Lavelle Edwards, Gary Shidey, our boy, as he discusses making the decision to come to BYU, how that changed his life. You can find it wherever you get your podcast.
Apparently I have some relationship work to do with Dennis of my own.
Hey, you and me, bro.
Sheesh. BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick is in good standing with Dennis and everybody else. He gives an update on the status of multiple injured offensive linemen. Who's back? Who's out? That and more coming up in headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B and a live edition of BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your headlines.
Number six, BYU football continues prep to play Kansas on Saturday. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick gave an update on the status of injured offensive linemen Connor Pay and Braden Keim.
Yeah, Connor's going to play, and yeah, he's ready to roll. Braden's going to be out for a little bit. We're hoping to get him back for postseason play, but yeah, he's going to be out for a little bit.
Postseason play, so we'll see exactly what that means. He's out for at least 3 weeks, you'd think. Roderick said that Colorado transfer Isaiah Jatta will start in Keim's place at right tackle. He came in on the last couple of drives, by the way, did a nice job. Had essentially redshirted, not played until now. He can play and maintain a redshirt. Pre-game coverage begins Saturday, 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Beat Kansas. BYU men's basketball beat Queens 99-55 last night at the Marriott Center to improve to 3-0. The Cougars jumping out to a 21-2 lead en route to the route. See what I did there?
Oh, nice.
Dawson Baker, the shot maker, scored 22 points, his BYU best. Shot 6 of 7 from 3 and 8 of 10 from the field. Trevin Nell added 4 threes and 16 points. Yegor Demin, 14 points, 5 assists. And Kaba Keita, second straight game with a double-double. He had 11 points and 13 rebounds. Basketball also announcing the signing of 4-star, 7-foot center Xavien Staten. Staten, the second player signed in the 2025 recruiting class, joining Chamberlain Burgess. Staten, right now, is the highest-rated high school signee in the history of BYU basketball. We'll see how long that lasts. Women's basketball
could add to it, yeah.
Did their thing as well, Jerem.
Yes, they did. On Kids Day, beat Colorado State 69-55. 3-0 now. Freshman Delaney Gibb, baller, 19 points to lead the way. Emma Calvert, season high 17 as well. Up next, a road trip to Pocatello on Saturday to play at Idaho State.
It's warm in Pocatello this time of year.
Holt Arena? Let's go.
Number 24, BYU women's volleyball plays at UCF tonight in a Big 12 showdown. You can watch the match starting at 7 Eastern on ESPN+.
They need Claire Little back. We'll see if she's playing tonight. Michael Davis and the Commanders play the Philadelphia Eagles tonight on Thursday Night Football. Davis has 5 tackles on the season for the 7-2 Commanders.
BYU women's soccer announcing the signing of 6 different players to their 2025 recruiting class, including Cassidy Drago, a forward from Winchester, California.
I will break you.
Mia Goch, forward from Eastvale, California. Sophie Savulich, midfielder from South Weber, Utah. Kate Denny from Alpine, Utah, also
Denny.
A midfielder.
Mm-hmm. Got to be a relative.
Afton Perry, midfielder from Saratoga Springs. Shout out. Shout and out. Sarah Mathis, goalie from American Fork, Utah.
Softball announced signing of 4 players as well. Kaya Fabella, catcher from Fort Worth, Texas. Alyssa Grajeda, third baseman from Rancho Santa Margarita, California. Rita Tavita, pitcher from Salt Lake City, Utah. And Irma Urincho, infielder from Anaheim.
These names are super easy today, aren't they?
Yeah, luckily they're just straightforward.
BYU Gymnastics announces four signees to their 2025 recruiting class, including Scarlett Sonnenberg out of Springville, Utah, Zoe Hale from Draper, Utah, Emily Chandler from Lee's Summit, Missouri, and Audrey Thomas repping Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, shout out to the Couve. I lived there in 94 and 95. And men's golf announces the signing of Jackson Shelley, younger brother of BYU golfer Tyson Shelley. Shelley, a two-time Utah 5A state champ. Women's soccer coming up Friday night, NCAA tournament first round. You can watch it on ESPN Plus as the Cougars, a 7 seed, take on Santa Clara, 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus. That could be cold and wet.
Former BYU athletic director Val Hale is in Studio B next to discuss his brand new book for BYU fans, Out of the Blue. We're going to get nostalgic in just a moment. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. And across the way is former BYU athletic director Val Hale. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, Val.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. It's wonderful to be with you.
We're excited about your new book, Out of the Blue. Yeah. How's it been received so far?
You know, it's done really well. I'm kind of surprised and pleased that people are really enjoying it, getting some good feedback from it.
We're obviously going to dive into some of the more memorable memories in that book and the nostalgia, but I do want to start with just your comparison of the golden era of BYU athletics and some of those great moments to what is happening right now with BYU athletics. What are the parallels you are seeing now compared to the glory years of the 80s and into the 90s?
Well, it's really remarkable because there are a lot of comparison. The energy level and excitement of the fans is just way up here. The difference probably is that in the early 80s and late 70s, you know, it was such a new thing for BYU. And people forget that it was like when Lavelle took over, BYU football was a doormat. And to think that 12 years later we would win the national championship.
Wild.
You know, you could have gone to Vegas and put down a dollar and won $100 million on that bet. You know, nobody ever thought it would happen. So the fans were just experiencing it for the first time. You know, what it's like to be one of the big boys. Now we're one of the big boys, but we've been, you know, we've had mixed success, but now we're right back on top and the national championship playoff possibilities. That's exciting. You know, we won the national championship, but it was a really strange route to get there. And it was, you know, it involved a lot of subjective votes and, you know, opinions of sports writers and things. This time we can just play our way right to the championship if we're good.
The opportunity's never been like this before, right? And now BYU's 9-0, but they've got some tough games coming up. Well, why now and what did it take to put this book together?
Well, you know, for years I talk to my friends, tell them stories about BYU, and they always say, you need to write a book. And got home from my mission, had some time. And plus, that very fact, you know, I was thinking the other day, there aren't very many people still around from those late 70s, early 80s who were in the department. Most of them have passed away. And so there's a little bit of a historical purpose for writing this as well. You know, I write about what happened behind the scenes. And so, I thought for history's sake, it might be kind of cool to get some of this on the record.
It's like a journal of sorts.
It is. I actually went back to my journal for a lot of it. I went to letters that I wrote to my kids while they were on their missions while I was athletic director and learned interesting stuff that I'd forgotten. You know?
That's why we write stuff down, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's awesome. So, and it feels like it's taken a lot of people and time and effort and finances to get BYU to this point. And you were a part of that. How gratifying has it been to see what BYU's become?
It is really amazing. Lavelle had 6 football coaches when he became head coach in 1982. Utah and Utah State had 8. They were in the big time. Lavelle had 6. First year he wins, has a winning record. People were so excited. He decided to, you know, cash in on some of that capital. He went to the administration and said, can I get 2 more coaches? Can you imagine how many people are in the football program today? Even from 20 years ago when I was athletic director, it's crazy. I went to the basketball game last night. They've got almost as many coaches as players.
The support staff is big.
It's astounding.
I was told by one staffer, he believes it's top 2 in terms of staff in the country in terms of volume.
Well, BYU's made an investment, which you have to do. The other thing, I talk a lot in here about game management, because I was involved with that back in the day, and BYU really has the premier game management, game experience team in the country now. And it's really funny when you compare what we were going through, because Glenn Tuckett, the athletic director, his opinion was plain vanilla. We want nothing that competes with the game. And so for years, we didn't do anything until probably around 1990, when Rex Lee became president and wanted to change things. But now today, we've got drones flying. We've got
fireworks and Cosmo on the scoreboard and everything.
I tell the story about going to New Skin to see if they would sponsor the scoreboard. And Blake Roney, who kind of resisted us for a while and finally goes and gets his checkbook, writes a $1 million check, and he takes it over to the shredder and says, "You have 60 seconds to accept my offer, and this goes in the shredder." And that's how we've paid for, at least got these video boards going in the Marriott Center. And now they're still the sponsor. That was in 1996.
Wow.
Wild.
So all those years later, they're still there.
That's
but
awesome.
He wrote that first $1 million check and threatened to put it in the shredder if we didn't give him a panel on the North board too.
That's awesome.
No pressure in that moment.
No.
Okay. Give me the check. Val Hill, former BYU athletic director, is on BYU Sports Nation. Now let's talk about Tom Holmoe, who I know you have a very close relationship with, and you've watched him evolve as BYU's AD, and now he's getting to the latter part of his tenure there. But what have you seen from Tom Holmoe in his almost 20 years leading the BYU athletic department that has impressed you the most?
Well, Tom is a remarkable person. You know, when we hired him here at BYU, he'd just left Cal as the head football coach. And, you know, he was just a quality person. I knew him when he was a player, and I knew he'd be a great administrator, and he's done a remarkable job. You look at the territory he shepherded BYU through, you know, from the Mountain West to Independence. That was a tough move. That was a risky move, getting him through Independence and now into the Big 12. Tom's really done a remarkable job, and he's done it in a classy way. Don't see him barging out onto the field or into press conferences or anything. Not, you know, just saying, but that's the way he is. He's behind the scenes a lot. You know, he's not out in front rah-rah, and that's good. He's done a great job.
You've teased the book well, but is there another story you want to share that people can get a little more information on?
Well, yes. So, you know, one of the stories I tell in there is the evolution of Cosmo. Cosmo's the best mascot in the country.
100%.
Right? Hands
down.
No problem. Well, it used to be Cosmo. We had awesome Cosmos, but they were elected, or basically chosen out of a student tryout. They had the big Cosmo head, which prevented him from being able to do a lot of things. Cosmo rode a unicycle, would shoot half-court shots. Well, we decided in 97 that we wanted to transform Cosmo. So we redid the uniform, made the head smaller, changed it, and then we thought, rather than have somebody we choose once in a while, let's get a really talented guy. So we went out and got a guy named Brett Jukes, who had been on the gymnastics team, and then we said, and let's get a dancer too. Let's get two people. So we got this incredible athlete, Brett, and a dancer. And we thought, we'll just interact them between the game.
Wow.
If people won't know, we'll bring a dancer in, he'll dance, and then the gymnast will come in and he'll do the things. And so we kind of transformed it, and it worked so well. We kept Brett for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
2 years after he graduated, he was still Cosmo.
That's awesome.
Is this the same Brett Jukes that's now with the Atlanta Falcons? And
No.
Okay, because there are two involved in the BYU community there.
No, and I said Brett Jukes. It's Brett Eden.
Brett Eden. Eden, okay.
He's at the University of Utah. He works for the U now.
And well, well, well.
Yeah. Great guy. He was a cheerleader and then a gymnast, and he was phenomenal, and he did such a great job. We kept him, and so the tradition of taking off Cosmo's head at the end of the season, that all ended, and we just thought, we've got a great Cosmo, let's keep him. So that's where the dancing Cosmo and the athletic Cosmo, That's how that all evolved and came about.
The decision to change the size of the mascot head was an elite one.
Yes, it was. It changed the game.
It really did.
That was awesome.
You think about it, the eyes in that helmet were about out here. You couldn't see anything. The head was big. If you tried to flip, the head would fall off or you would crash. And so getting that smaller head with the eyes closer, it really allowed him to do some cool
stuff.
Great
stuff. How do fans find your book, Val?
Well, two ways. It's on Amazon. It's in some bookstores. Or you can go to my website, www.outofthebyublue.com. If you do that, I'll autograph it.
Nice.
And sign it for you.
You autographed ours, which is awesome.
Yes, thanks I mean, for that. Just, we appreciate it.
If you go to that website, make an order, and just leave me a note, and I'll sign it to whoever you want. It's a great stocking stuffer for Christmas for the BYU fan.
It's that
That's what
of year.
A lot of people are buying it for.
It's awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, Vale.
Thank you, guys. You guys do a fantastic job.
You're too nice.
Thank you.
Really
Thank
amazing. You so much. Okay, check out men's basketball taking on Idaho tomorrow. We got pregame, early afternoon game, baby, 2 Eastern time. You got men's hoops in the afternoon, football at night against Kansas. We'll get you for that ahead of the game on ESPN+.
How are you all feeling about Saturday's game against Kansas? So many emotions. We'll react more to our question of the day after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. BYU a 2.5-point favorite against 3-6 Kansas. How are you feeling about Saturday's game against the Jayhawks? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Cam_Cougar25 on X, who says, if BYU can get some turnovers, then I'm feeling good about winning the game. Otherwise, I think it's going to be a dogfight.
That's
well,
how
even with turnovers, I think it's going to be a dogfight.
It was a dogfight with Utah, +2. Ends up being +3 with the fumble on the kickoff. Needed all of that.
Listen, can BYU do what they did against the other Kansas team? Just dominate?
That'd be fun.
Right?
That'd be fun.
Yes. Our Rise and Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, goes to two fabulous gentlemen and two members of the Black 14. I had an opportunity to speak with them on the sideline a couple of years ago when Wyoming was in town. They are John Griffin and Mel Hamilton, and we've got them in studio with us.
Great to have you guys here. You guys were on the Satake Show Tuesday night here today. You're getting a lot of camera time. This is awesome.
I know.
How you feeling today?
Feeling good.
Yeah.
Feeling good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to have
Thanks
you here.
Thanks for having us.
Let's go ahead and just ask you a couple questions if we can do that right now.
Absolutely.
But we want you to remind people how you came into affiliation with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. John, how did that happen?
Well, actually, it came on the shoulders of Mel Hamilton a few years ago when our philanthropy program was beginning to show up, and we were dealing with food insecurity. And so Mel Hamilton was good friends with Gifford Nielsen, and had that conversation with Gifford Nielsen. How can we work in concert with one another and help those in need? And Gifford says, "Well, what about food?" And then we came up with the idea. Mel, you came up with the idea. I'll let Mel explain from that point on.
Yeah, I asked a question about how can we be partners. And Gifford said, write me a proposal, which I did, and he accepted. And that partnership bloomed from that point on, 5 years now?
Yeah, 5 years now. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
It's been a beautiful relationship between the two. It's been fun to have you guys in town. And BYU played at Wyoming this year. And it was in September, much better weather, which was great. But ultimately, what's the message and legacy of the Black 14? What do you guys want that to be?
We have a catchphrase that we use. We turn a tragedy into philanthropy. Mm. And that's, in essence, what we've done. We've had good lives, and so we've chose to give back. And the way we've chose to give back is getting in a partnership with the LDS Church. And then with all the areas where the guys live, we supply food to those areas. And it's just grown in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Right. You know, you learn that if you get knocked down, you have a choice. You can stay down or you can get up. And we decided to get up and do something good.
Mm. Yep. I love that. We appreciate and love you both and everything that you stand for and represent. Thanks for spending some time with us at the end.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to see you guys.
Outstanding. Our thanks to today's guests, Dennis Pitta, Val Hell, and of course, the great Mel Hamilton and John Griffin. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
And thanks to Dennis. We made time for him today. It was great.
Yeah.
We should do that more often.
I left that for you on purpose.
Thanks, man.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Again, a shout out to all BYU fans. We'll see you Saturday night. Show up and show out. Go Cougs.